of our best classic novels are also full of pilgrimage. Think of Homer's Odyssey, about Odysseus for 10 years struggling to return home after the 10-year-long Trojan War. Eventually, he returns to his home of Ithaca after many trials and very difficult wanderings. A pilgrim's story is never truly finished until they return home. And we think of the journeyings and pilgrimages of the Jewish people we read about in our Hebrew scriptures. In the wilderness, in the desert. And these are the pilgrimages that people of the Jewish faith still celebrate each year in their three Jewish pilgrimage festivals of Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And what about our own pilgrimages? Well, in a sense, we are all on a pilgrimage. Each of us at a particular point on our human journey. It might be a new phase of life, a marriage, a new relationship, a new project. Or on the faith pilgrimage, some may be approaching baptism or confirmation, or in need of a new vision, or just plodding along, one foot after the other, holding on. Some set off on physical pilgrimages to places, to sacred sites, such as the Santiago de Compostela walk or Camino, or to Tibet to see the Dalai Lama and converse with him. New insights can be found on such journeys, immersing oneself in a deeper spiritual experience. And what about tourists? Well, most of us are tourists at one point or another in our lives, aren't we? I'm going off on 2 weeks' holiday tomorrow. I'm going to be a tourist. But often on our ventures, as we go off to enjoy new sights, we may find that an event happens that allows something to come to fruition in our lives. Something might be awakened. We might meet someone who has something to say to us that means something to us, and new insights are gained. And of course, we come to this great Hebrew Old Testament figure, this pilgrim Abraham, remembered in the Bible as the ancestor of the Israelites, and often called the father of faith, as our Hebrews reading depicts him today. According to the book of Genesis, God has called him from Mesopotamia to journey to the land that God promises to him, where God has promised to multiply his offspring and make them into a great people and a blessing to the nations. To all people. Although the Hebrews reading tells it somewhat differently in many ways, the story in the Old Testament is actually more focused on God's promises than Abraham's faith, so that also is there. So what is this story really of Abraham? Well, in the previous chapters of Genesis, Abraham has embarked on a long journey, leaving his home and bringing his family to the land God has shown him. We actually don't know why Abraham was called, why God chose him, but he did, and so forward Abraham goes, setting out not knowing where he was going. So true of us at times too, isn't it? Abraham is recognized as the wanderer par excellence. In the biblical tradition, the tent dweller, celebrated in Psalm 119. I am a stranger on this earth, a wandering Aramean. To this day, the Jewish festival of Sukkot is a time when Jews erect a tent to remind themselves that they are descended from a nomad who showed hospitality to strangers. But nomadic Abraham at this point, as we read in chapter 15, has actually meandered at times, gone off the track, changing course according to surrounding potential threat and his own fears. But he's also paused to build altars and to pray as he remembers God's promise. Hospitality and common sense did not always win the day with Abraham. The shadow of hostility was all around. There were threats, and Abraham becomes fearful and protects himself through deceit and subterfuge. Indeed, at the beginning of Genesis chapter 15, Abraham is focusing on some realities of his situation that cause him to doubt the reality of God's promises. So, what does he imagine? What does he fear? God has promised descendants and land, but Abraham is thinking, well, right now, I don't have a son, and Sarah and I are really too old to have children, so how can we get one? And I also don't have any land at this point. So the glass, as we say, is half empty for Abraham. So God, compassionately understanding some of Abraham's fear, goes into what I call therapeutic mode and does an object lesson in trust. He shows him the big picture in the stars. And this actually helps Abraham to lift his eyes from his own inadequacies and anxieties and to have some faith restored, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, if we actually look at the Hebrews reading again and compare it a bit to the Genesis story, we might think that the writer of Hebrews, and by the way, we have no idea who the writer to the Hebrews is, only God knows, really. But the writer has whitewashed the Abraham story somewhat, because it implies that Abraham had no doubts in his faith, no wavering, always fully trusted in God's promises. And it says this is the bold and courageous faith that we are to emulate. But what is the real lesson for us in the Abraham story? Our faith does not need to be unwavering and bulletproof, because wherever we are in our own faith journey and however long we've been journeying, we will have failed often and encountered difficulties at many points. But there is something about God's promises, God's faithfulness, that calls us on. Perhaps it's a bit like we have a homing device planted within us that calls us on and on to our true homeland. Our failures and weaknesses do not deter God and God's patient love, and so we pick ourselves up again and we persevere. Of course, our spiritual journeys are not only as individuals, but also as a church community. Now, we often talk, don't we, about how old and beautiful this church is. But even more beautiful is the human community that has been here right from the beginning for well over 150 years, saying its prayers, offering its hospitality to others, growing always in faith and love. Here, pilgrims through the decades have shared many stories as they have walked together with Christ along the pilgrim path. And we ourselves, don't we, continue to share our stories with their joys and their sorrows. And we relate these to others along the way. And Christ, of course, he's our companion on the way, but also within us and in those around us. It is indeed important to continue to grow in faith and to encourage each other. And in this parish, one of the opportunities to do this is through our spiritual growth program that is now being offered, about which you have been hearing the last few weeks. The lecture, the beginning of September, the weekend retreat, the quiet morning leading from Advent to Christmas. And more information on those is available in the Narthex. And these all provide opportunities for renewal and growth. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And as John Bunyan wrote in that hymn, "There's no discouragement shall make them once relent, each from avowed intent to be a pilgrim." Amen.